Okay. So we were at the bottom of your testament base. So the if we just look back at the mission, it's been a while. So the we're coming at the mission. No, we're not coming to the mission. We're commenting on the Brisa from before. So we're at the bottom four lines from the bottom on your testament base. Where the Gemara says, "Yotzei ba mishum simcha." And if you have these karbanos, which we're talking about, these nedarim and nedavos, these voluntary karbanos that you committed to bring, and if you bring them around Yantif, so you fulfill your mitzvah of simcha, because as we've seen already, simcha doesn't require you to bring a special karban. We saw that, at least according to some Rishonim, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you could only fulfill your mitzvah with karbanos, or maybe nowadays there is no mitzvah to eat meat because there is no karbanos, but at any rate, the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov is to eat meat, presumably, especially kachim, but you don't have to bring a unique karban, which is for Simcha, you can fulfill your mitzvah. But Ve'ena Yosefa Mishum Chagiga, but Chagiga, which you actually have to bring the karban. It's not just that you happen to need meat, which was a karban. You actually have to bring a karban. You can't use pre-promised karbanos. So the Gemara comments on that. Pshita, that should be obvious. Dar Shebachovahu, you're obligated to bring a chagiga. As Rashi says, dichsiv v'chagosem. There's the pasuk says, and you shall celebrate, which we understand to mean, and you shall bring a chagiga. V'chol davar shebechova eino ba ela min hachulen. And anything which is obligatory can only be brought from chulen, meaning from not pre-sanctified or pre-owed material. So lo tzricha, so the Gemara answers, lo tzricha d'afkav d'parish. The chiddush here is that even if you, when you designated your karban, you said that you were going to use it for chagiga, it doesn't work, because if you promise to bring a karban, which is a neder, and say, and I want my neder to fulfill my mitzvah of chagiga, that won't work. So the Gemara then, we'll finish the Gemara here, but we'll focus just on this line, really. Kidabayim minei Reb Shimon ben Lakish. And this is like the question of Shimon Lakish, Meir Rabbi Yochanan, when he asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'omer ha'rei la ta'oda ve'eitze ba'yidei chagiga. If someone says, I'm obligated to bring a toda, and it's going to fulfill my mitzvah of chagiga, or you said, ha'reini nazir v'agalech mimosir meisir sheni, or you say that I'm going to being nazir. But when I shave and I end my nazirus, I'm going to bring the karbanos from the money of Meiser Sheni. Mahu, does that work? Or what's the halacha? Amar lei, nadur. He has to fulfill his promise. Veino yotze. Nazir veino megaleach. He has to bring the toda, but it can't be used for chagiga. He has to become a nazir, but he can't just get out of the karban with the money of Meiser Sheni. So you see that even when you commit to bring a voluntary karban thinking that you can use it for an obligatory karban, it doesn't matter. You need to bring the voluntary karban, and you need to bring a separate karban for the obligatory one, because you can't fulfill your obligations with things you already promised to kachim. And that's the right. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So what I want to do is just analyze this rule of kol davar shebechova in ba'ayam minachulin. So we'll do, if you look at the source sheet, basically the first two sources are just the main Gemaras and Shas that discuss this rule. And then the rest of the source sheet analyzes it. So sometimes when Rav Lichtenstein would give shir, he had this thing, right? He was as methodological as you could possibly be. But one of his things was, when you had a rule like this, the way he would give shir is he would take the sentence and he would just go word by word and show every possibility that emerged from every section. So that's really what we're going to do here. So just to sort of give a heads up of what we're going to do, right? If we read the rule, right? Kol davar shebechova, right? All things which are obligatory. So right there, the context of our Gemara, and as we'll see, the classic Gemara in Menachos is going to be karbanos. So the first question we're going to have to ask is, okay, the context of all the explicit Gemaras, as we'll see, is karbanos, right? Is that you can't bring a karban from something which was already promised. So when the rule is formulated, kol davar, does that mean only karbanos, and kol davar is just an expression? Or does the fact that the rhetoric is more inclusive tell you that, in fact, it's not just karbanos, it is all mitzvos, or all things, or all obligations. It's really everything. So that's going to be question one. Right? And then, when we say ein ba, so ein ba could mean it shouldn't come, or it can't come. Right? Meaning, either if you do it, it would work, but you shouldn't do it. Or, if you do it, it doesn't even work. And then min hachulin, so min hachulin technically means from unsanctified things. But does it really mean it? Meaning the context here in the Gemara is not really, the focus isn't chulin, isn't that you're bringing something unsanctified, is that you need to bring something unsanctified, rather. It's that you, when you're bringing a karban, that you're obligated to bring, you have to bring it from an animal which wasn't pre-promised as a karban. But when we say chulin, does that just mean you have to bring a karban from something which wasn't promised as a karban? Or does it actually mean chulin?
A lower level of kedusha, maybe? From something that had...
Right, so what would... For example, right? What would be an example of something which... What? You sure? Well, so what would be an example of something which hasn't been promised to as a karban, but is not chulin?
Maaser sheni?
Right, maaser sheni, potentially. Right, but that doesn't work perfectly because you at least are obligated to bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. So there is some obligation attached to it. But can you think of a case which is totally Kadosh, but also totally yours? There's at least two very good cases.
Pesach?
What?
Karban Pesach?
Well, that's a karban. I mean, a case where you would bring, right, something which was totally holy already as a karban. Well, that's the...
No, that's no,
that's already the karban. I mean, what could you bring as a karban that was already holy and yet... totally yours.
Before?
No, that's already.
So the examples we'll see, right? The real ones, it won't work for animals. It'll work for other things. It'll work for menachos, which is truma and shvius, right? Which are both holy, but they're yours, right? So when we say chulin, what do we mean, right? Is the rule that any time you bring a karban or you fulfill a mitzvah, as we'll see, you have to bring it from something which is yours? Or is there some magic rule that you have to bring in something from which is not holy, even if it's totally yours? So when I was thinking of this, so yeah, I was just thinking Rav Lichtenstein, where he would just go line by line. I remember that was like his critique when I gave at least one of my kol chaburas, which is, you know, he just took the sentence and he's like, okay, I understand this word, I understand this word, I understand this word, but you should have compared this word to every other time it comes up in Shas to get a feeling for what it means. Right, okay, that was how he did things. Okay, so with those three questions in mind, right? How expansive is kol davar shebechova? What does ein ba'a mean? And what does chulin mean? We'll try to understand this again. I don't know if we'll get through all three. And presumably next week when people are back, we'll have to summarize the main points and then continue. But we should get through, I think, at least the first question. Okay, so the central Gemara is the Gemara in Menachos Daf Pei Aleph and Aleph to Pei Gimel Mebet, right? I took just a few lines from it. It's not the whole thing, but it spans about two and a half blot. There's actually very little written on this sugya in all the places that you would want to look. First of all, there are no Rishonim on Menachos, virtually none. There's Rashi, Tosos, Rambam, and there's the Shita Miucheses Laharajba, and that's about it. Otherwise, there's, you know, a helpful sefer called the Knesset Rishonim, put together by Rav Ilan. But there isn't much, and even in my Kachim Sfarim at home, even the ones on Menachos, they don't get this far, right? They do like the first parak, the second parak, the seventh parak, the later prakim, because there's more interesting Menachos stuff. So, whatever, but we'll have to look at a little bit of sort of less classic Makaros, but okay. So anyways, the Gemara there says, Minayin la'omer, so the Mishnah says, Minayin la'omer harei alai toda. How do you know that if someone says, I am obligated in a toda, right, which is a voluntary karban, right? That's like our Gemara. Shelo yavi ela min hachulin, that you can only bring it from chulin, from unsanctified animals. Talmud lomar, so the Pasuk says, Vizavach da pesach lahashem, lahashem lokecha tzon ubakar. And you should bring a pesach to God, a sheep or a cattle, right? Or sheep or cattle, So the Gemara says, "V'halo Pesach ein ba'el min hakvasim min ha'izim." How can you say bring the Pesach from cattle? Pesach is only brought from sheep or from goats. It can't be brought from a cow. So how can you say bring the Pesach from a cow? Im kein matam lomar sonu vakar. So then why, when you're saying bring the Pesach, do you say an a cow? Lakish, to make a hekesh, to compare. That kol abam min hatzonu min havakar, le Pesach, all karbanos. Meaning every karban which could be brought from sheep, from goats, or from cattle, or like Pesach, ma Pesach davar shebechova vein ba'ilam minachulin. Just like the carbon Pesach is an obligatory sacrifice and can only be brought from unsanctified animals, I've called davar shebechova vein ba'ilam minachulin. So all things which are obligatory can't be brought except from chulin. Lefichach. Therefore, ha'omer alai toda. So if you say I am obligated to bring a toda, harei alai shlamim, or I have to bring a shlamim, ho'a ubayin chova. Since from the moment you've obligated yourself, they are now definitionally obligatory. Lo yiviu elam min achulin. You can only bring them from unsanctified animals. Unisachim and libations. B'chol makom lo yiviu elam min achulin. Can only be brought from unsanctified animals. So then the Gemara asked the obvious question, which is, okay, you said that the reason we know that all karbanos must be brought from non-pre-obligated animals, because Pesach has to be brought from a non-sanctified animal. So, okay, how do you know? Pesach. So the Gemara says, we have Xeris HaKasuv, Pesach Gufei Minolan. Ditanya, because the Brisa says, Rilazar Omer, Ne'emar Pesach b'Mitzrayim, v'ne'emar Pesach l'doros. We have a discussion of Pesach in Mitzrayim, and we have a discussion of Pesach in the future. Ma Pesach amar b'Mitzrayim, lo ba'alam menachulin. Just like Pesach in Mitzrayim could only have been brought from unsanctified animals. Why?
They didn't have anything.
Because they didn't have anything else, right? There was no, the Torah hadn't been given to give sanctity to anything else, specifically, presumably, Meiser and the like, but there just was no such thing as holiness yet. Af Pesach, Amr Ledoros, Loba, Ela Menachulin. So Amr Ler Rabbi Kiva doesn't like this because he said, really? Chidan Efshar, Mishay Efshar, that's not a proof. Right? The reason the Pesach and Mitzrayim could only be brought from non-sanctified animals is because there were only non-sanctified animals. How can you learn that to Pesach Dora, which could in theory be brought from sanctified animals? Amar lei, afal pishi efshar, raya gadola hivinil mani mena. And Rilazar says, yeah, whatever. Right, whatever. Yeah, you're right, but I don't care. Right, this is the classic line, one person's...
For me, it's a good raya.
Right. I heard it the first time, Hashem Raya Jachter, but I don't think it was his. I don't know who he got it from, but it's right. One man's reductio ad absurdum is another man's inachanami. Right? It's like, right, he says, Rabbi Kiva says it can't be, and Rabbi Lazar says, yeah, whatever, I get that, but no, I think it's fine. Fine. Rabbi Kiva agrees to this rule. So where does he get it from? Pesach, they know Balam and Achulin Minole. So Nafgalei Mehadam Rashmol Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He gets it from a different place. The pasuk says Zos HaTorah LeOlav V'Lam Inchav LaChatos V'Lasham LaMilim LeZevach Hashlamim. We compare all the karbanos. We say this is the Torah of the Ola, of the Mincha, of the Chatos, of the Asham, of the Milum, of the Zevach Hashlamim. So the Gemara says Chatos Ma Chatos Ein Abal Min Achulin. Uviyom uviyado hayiminis. I've called in Obal menachulin uviyom uviyado hayiminis. We learn from chatas, and chatas, among other things, can only be brought from non-sanctified animals. So too, all karbanos can be brought only from non-sanctified animals. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question again.
Uviyado hayiminis.
With the right hand, right? You have to with your right hand, right? You do the sprinkling with your right hand. Right, for us, that's not relevant, but you do it with your right hand, right? All avodah is done the right hand, the shechita is done the right hand, and the sprinkling is done the right hand. And the Gemara says, okay, well, how do you know?
Isn't that for all karbanos?
What?
Isn't that for all karbanos?
Yeah, and we learn it from, right, we learn it all from chatas. Oh. Right, from this pasuk, we compare everything, fine. Okay. So Gemara says, chata gufa minala, and where do we know that chatas can only be brought from non-sanctified animals? Amar chista, damar kra, vihikriv, aharon is parachadas, asher lo. Because it says, Aaron brings the chatas, which is his. Lo, which is his, meaning Michel lo, v'lo Michel maaser, his and not maaser. Okay, so that's the end of the central Gemara. Now, So now if we return to our opening three questions, right? We go back to the sentence. So here the Gemara has two sources for this rule of kol davar shebechol v'einam v'menachulet. Either it's from a drasha from Pesach Mitzrayim, or it's from a drasha from Chatas. And Chatas itself is learned from the rule of the Ekriv Aaron, from the pasuk Ekriv Aaron's par Chatas asher lo lo mishal lo velo mishal maser.
How's maser?
Maser sheni. Right, so how would that work? So Maaser Sheni, the halacha is, right, you separate 10% or whatever it is, not exactly 10% of what's left after the previous Maasers, and you bring it to your Shalayim. But if you don't bring it to your Shalayim, so then you sell it and you redeem it, and you bring the money to your Shalayim. And get to your Shalayim, you can buy anything which is edible. So included in that could be animals. You don't only have to buy produce, you can buy animals. But
for korbanos also.
And those animals you can't buy for korbanos, right? That's what the pasuk tells you. In theory, you could have, but you can't. Okay. So now, if we go through our rules, right? So first question, kol davar shebichova. Well, you know, even before we do that, right? Misvara, if I asked you, kol davar shebichova, when we say everything which is obligatory can only be brought minachulin. Okay. So would you think misvara that should only apply to karbanos? And if so, why only karbanos? Or should apply to, let's say, all mitzvos, all obligations, that you have to bring it from something which is not pre-committed? So what would you say?
Kind of makes sense though, doesn't it? I mean, otherwise isn't that like mila or something like that?
Isn't it?
Mila.
Yeah. Right, so misvara, one could... Well, mean that's to limit it to karbanos or not to limit it to karbanos?
No, but that's to anything. If it's a davar shebekdusha...
So if it's already kadosh, right? Fine, but maaser sheni... But maaser sheni you're allowed to use. Right, maaser sheni you're allowed to use.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not going to be mila. You're allowed to use it, we're allowed to eat it. Right, it's just that you can't use it for a carbon. You're allowed to use it for an animal, but you can't use it for a carbon because you already have to bring the Maaser Sheni anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's there basically for, live, eat and be merry, so to speak.
Well, let me put it this way, differently, right? Right, but now, if I put it differently, right, I mean, do you think you could use Maaser Sheni? Let's say I promised I was going to give tzedakah, right? So could I be yotze my tzedakah with Maaser Sheni? Right? Or would you say no? Once you made a promise of staka, so right? Why would you say no?
Because it has a level of kedusha already.
So you say because of the kedusha?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I would ask, why would that make a difference?
Okay. So let's say not. So let's say not kadosh. Let's say
you're getting deriving some benefit.
But you're a lot of benefits. Yeah. You're a lot of benefit right, from Maaser Sheni. You're allowed to give it to your friends.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're giving some other kind of. You're deriving some other kind of benefit from tzedakah.
Okay, but why is that a problem?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, tzedakah is supposed to be menachulin, right?
But what does menachulin mean? But what's
because
the menachulin problem?
It's already like designated for a particular purpose.
And therefore, right?
And therefore, you're using it for a purpose that it's not designated for, even if it's a mitzvah.
Well, what's the problem with that? Meaning, Maaser Sheni is meant to be eaten. You're eating
because,
it. You're giving it to a poor person.
You should give tzedakah from something else.
Because
it's a mitzvah by itself. It's
right. Meaning that's right. That's basically right. The simple svara of kol davar shebechova einam v'menachulin is once you're obligated in one thing, you can't kill two birds with one stone. If I have an obligation, right, I can't fulfill my obligation with something I'm already owed for a different reason.
Stuck are kind of different in some way.
Well, we'll see whether stuck is different, but what?
Doesn't the Torah tell us to give it, use it a stucker type of way?
I mean, yes, I mean, to have, yeah, it's not a great example because, yes, you should have poor people eating with you, but let's say a separate promise of tzedakah, right? You make a parallel to this toda case, right? Where I promise a toda. Okay. Now, so.
Matzah.
You know, take your bag, right? So. Now, misvara, right? Logically, there's a good reason to say they call davar shebechol v'ein ba'al menachul and shouldn't be living into a karbanos. It's just a basic argument. If I'm already obligated to do, right? I have an obligation. I can't kill two obligations with one stone. If I promise $100 of staka, and then the next day I promise another $100 of staka, I can't say, okay, I'm going to give $100 of staka.
What? Might be an example.
Right, and there's all types of examples of how it can manifest itself.
Coin, voluntarily. You give, maybe you owe a kohen some money.
Right. So, exactly. Right. To do that. Right. That would be a good example. Right. To I would say to a kohen, I owe you $50. Instead of me giving a chazav shok to that kohen, I'll give it to you, and he owes it $50. Right. Intuitively, we say that's wrong because you already owe him $50. You can't. You know. You can't say, oh, I have a general mitzvah obligation in addition. So misvara, I would say that's true. But if I just looked at the Gemaras, the Gemara is only talking about karbanos, and it, what becomes clear in the Gemara here in Menachos is when we say minha, right, in ba el menachulin, in ba menachulin, the emphasis seems to be not on money that you, right, the emphasis is on not meiser, right? I mean, it's not don't bring it from, only bring it from money that's yours, it's don't bring it from meiser. So you have this tension, because misvara, right, I would have said that kol davar shebechov ein ba menachulin is very simple, or if I followed the drasha of the pasuk, the hekriv is parchatas asher lo mishalo, right? Milo mishal meiser. You have to bring your own, right? You can't you can't kill two birds with one stone. And yet, the Gemara needs exeris hakasuv according to everybody. Mm-hmm. So
there has to be a havamina the other way.
What?
So you're saying there has to be a havamina the other way?
Right. So the question is, right? You have this svara which sort of jumps at you, and the Gemara even says it, right? Mishalo milo mishal meiser. You have to pay off your debts with your own money, and not with God's money, or not with money you already owe to somebody, to God, to whatever, to a mitzvah. And yet, the Gemara needs a pasuk for it, according to everybody. Rabbi Akiva has one pasuk, Rabbi Elazar has another pasuk. So when we get to that first question, kol davar shebechova, what do we really mean? Kol davar shebechova, or only karbanos? Okay, so let's look at the second Gemara, and then we'll actually try to answer the question. The second Gemara, you'll see the same type of thing. The Gemara in Chagiga Dav Chesam and Aleph says, Amar Mar, Bizhil Omrim, Mina Meiser. If you want to be mitapel, right, which is add to the carbon, right, beyond your, right, you have the basic carbon, and then you add from money of Meiser Sheni, so that you can do. So the Gemara says, why? Amai Dav Shevachov, Dav Shevachov, and Menachur, and Amar Ula, Betofel, it's only Tofel, right, you aren't allowed to bring your chagiga from Meiser Sheni. It's just that if you want to add to it, right? Once you're already bringing the carbon, you want to make it bigger by taking money Meiser Sheni, that's fine. Chizki Amar Toflin Behem Lehema Vein Toflin Malos Lamalos. Yochan Amar Toflin Malos Lamalos Vein Toflin Behema Lehema. You know what? I'm debating whether I want to do this first. You know what? Okay, let's hold off on this Gemara, because this Gemara is a little bit more complicated. I want to try to answer question one first, so maybe we'll come back to this one next week, which is, you know, a sort of a sugya in and of itself. So let's skip to source three. Okay, so since we already opened these questions, right, that kol davar shebechov, on the one hand, misvara, you would say that it should apply to all mitzvos, to all obligations, and yet the Gemara tells you that there's a gzeiras hakasuv for karban. So the question is, okay, so which is it? So if you look, the first source that basically everybody quotes on this is a Maharil, which is a bit late, but okay, fine. So the Maharil says as follows: Im adam yotze mitzvas matana le'evyonim b'mashenosin lehem ma'os shel meiser. When it comes Purim time, and you have to give your mitzvah of matanos le'evyonim, can you just give money from maaser? Right? You already have maaser money put aside. Can you use it? The poor person comes knocking at your door. Do you need to separate extra money beyond your maaser for the poor person, or no?
Your maaser means maaser
ksafim
that you put away for the suffering.
That's
no intrinsic kedusha.
Correct. No kedusha, right? Which will be important when we get to that last question of chulin, right? But here, right, it's simply, can I be yotze my mitzvah matanos le'evyonim with money that's already designated for tzedakah? That's all. Mi Amrin, he says, do we say that kevan da'maaser v'lav hachishayach lahem lo yotza da'hanosin lahem mishalahem? Do you say, since they already have rights to the maaser, because it's tzedakah, so you can't fulfill your obligation by giving them their own money, o dilma eker takonah gedei l'samchan? Or do you say, look, matanos le'evyonim isn't about tzedakah, it's about making sure that poor people are happy on Purim. So who cares whether you give them new tzedakah or you give them old tzedakah? As long as when they come to you on Purim, you give them money to buy a meal, who cares where that money came from? In Cain, Yotzelev, Yonim, Cain, and Makpidin, most of them are Meiser or Lav, and therefore it doesn't matter because they don't care whether it's Meiser or more money. Rachem, Smechem, Vitovas, Hanah, Shal Meiser, Shal Bailim, Shinosan, Lazani, Vilachar, Azav, Ele Simcha. He said, then they're going to be happy. Why are they going to be happy? Because yes, Meiser belongs to poor people in general. But the owner of the Meiser has the right to choose which poor person he gives it to. So if someone knocks on your door in Purim and he's the lucky person who gets your Meiser money, so he's going to have money for his Suda on Purim and therefore he's going to be happy and that's sufficient. So the Mariel says, Tshuva. Matanos le'evyonim. I think they might have cut off a... No, sorry. It's not Lefianius. It's just Anias Daiti Novde. Right? I think... I don't think you fulfill your mitzvah with Meiser. Why? Came into the counter derabanan heavy davar shebechova. Since matanos l'avyonim is a mitzvah derabanan, it is obligatory. It's a davar shebechova. V'nimtze pareachovo mimasro ve'ein lo bo ella tovas hana. And now you're paying off your debt to the poor person, right? Your mitzvah debt to the poor person with money that was already committed to tzedakah. And that's a problem. The Yesh Meir Abosendu de Pasku de Eino Mamon. Lamandi Amr Mamon, Mikol Makom Evi Davar Shebechova, Chol Davar Shebechova, in Obama Menachul. And Reza, there's a machlokas, how do we define Meiser? But whatever the case is, whether you think that Maser in general, like real Meiser, is considered Shogavok or Shalachem, doesn't matter. The point is that in the end of the day, Meiser is owed already. The Alpha Gav de Rabbanan Basrai Harav Oppenheim, Shari Lahachilu Lo Aviv Bizman Hazeh, Kemoshe Kasafti Locha. Kvar, and even though there are poskim, and we'll see what he's talking about, and saying there is this Rav Oppenheim. Who's this? I have no idea. Yeah. Rav Oppenheim, whatever, it was some rabbi, Rav Oppenheim, who said that it was mutter to take your tzedaka money to feed your parents if they're poor, even though, as we'll see, the Gemara doesn't love it. That's because we don't care about curses, and the Gemara curses someone who does it, but we don't really care. The only reason there is because it's embarrassing for your father. And Meiser Ksafim, which itself is only Dirabanan, or a Minhag, or whatever it might be. So it's not so embarrassing as you love him. And the point is, you want your father to have food, and that's fine. But here, there's a full-fledged obligation, and therefore you can't fulfill your mitzvah with Meiser. And if you really don't want to spend more money, so give the poor person the minimum amount of money from your own money, and then add from Meiser, and that's fine. But at least some money, which is not Meiser, you have to give him. Now, what Gemara is he referring to with this Kibud Avaim? And then we'll come back to Maharil. So he's referring to number 4. The Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph says, Iboilu, Michel me, when you are obligated to obligate your to give honor to your parents, which includes, according to the Gemara, ma'achilu mashkeu umalbisho, giving him food, drink, and clothing, whose money does that come from? Shabbi Yehuda Omer Michel Ben. Yehuda says it comes from your pocket. Rav Nosson Bar Rosh Yomer Michel Av. Nosson Bar Rosh Yomer says, no, you have to feed your parents, but you don't have to spend money on it. You just have to, you know, you can go to their house if they need a meal, so you can cook for them from their own food. But you don't have to. You can use their credit card and you go to the supermarket to buy it from them. So, orule rabbanan le'rav Yirmiyah, v'amule le'rav Rav Yirmiyah, k'mandi amar mishel av. So the rabbanan paskins Rav Yirmiyah that we paskins from the father's money. So the Gemara says, meisvei, is that true? Nemar kaved is avicha v'esimecha, v'nemar kaved is Hashem me'oncha. It says, honor your parents as honor God. And by God, it's mehoncha, from your own money. Malalon b'chisaron kis, afkan b'chisaron kis. In both cases, you have to be willing to lose money. V'yomert mishalav. And if you think that it's from the father's pocketbook, mainafka lemine, what does he care? So the Gemara says, no. You don't have to spend your own money to honor your parents. But you do, levitul malacha. Right? If honoring your parents requires you to take off a day from work and you're going to lose profit, that you do have to do. Tashmas, the Gemara tries to prove it. Shnei Achim, Shnei Shufin, Avim, Menor, Avatamida, Potenzel, Zel, Meiser, Sheni. A partner is brothers, a parent and child, a teacher and student. They can redeem each other with Maaser Sheni. Machil and Zel Maaser Ani, and they can feed each other Maaser Ani, assuming their father or son is poor. The Gemara says, V'yamar Mishal Ben, and if you thought that the mitzvah of Kibbut Ava'im had to come from the son's wallet, Nimtze Zeparei Achovo Mishal Aniim. So then, he would be fulfilling his obligation from the poor people's money. So the Gemara says, maybe lo tzricha la dafa, maybe that's only the extra money, right? You give your father basics, and then you add from Maaser Ani. The Gemara says, I hachi, hayin itani Allah, am Rav Yehuda, tava me'er le misha machal, it's avim Maaser Ani, v'i la dafa may nafkamina. So the Gemara says, if that's true, then why did Rav Yehuda curse anyone who feeds his father Maaser Ani? If it's just the extra money, what do you care? The Gemara says, Afilachi zila b'milsa. It's still embarrassing to feed your poor father from Maaser Ani as if he was just any other poor person. But the Gemara goes on there to conclude that this is only a curse. But me'ikar adin halachically,
you can do it.
Right? You can do it. The halacha is kibbut avim is mishel av. It's a mitzvah of service, but not a financial mitzvah to help your parent. And therefore, in theory, you could use it. So the Ma'aril says, look, the Gemara says, why are you allowed to feed your father, Me'ikra Adin, leaving aside the curse, from Maaser Ani? Because the Gemara says it's not a financial mitzvah. But what is the implication? That if Kibbut Ava'im were a financial mitzvah, meaning it wasn't just I have to serve my parents, but it was I actually like to spend money on my parents, so then I couldn't use my sarani because I'd be parech ovo mishal acherim. So he says, what you see from here is that the rule of kol davar shebechova in ba'il and achulin applies not just to karbanos, it applies to all mitzvos. And he says, Rav Oppenheim went farther, he said, Bizman Hazeh, right? We don't even care about the curse, so you can actually just straight up feed your father from Maaser money. But again, that's only because it's not a monetary mitzvah. There is no monetary chov, there's no formal monetary obligation, there's just a mitzvah to serve your parent. But what you see is that the Gemara thinks that it's a universal rule of kol davar shebechova, it's kol davar. Okay. So, now what you have is, you have a Gemara in Menachos and Gemara in Beitza, which if you asked me, at least from the Gemara in Menachos, I would have said, despite the fact that Misvara, I think that Kol Davar Shebechova in Baal Menachon is intuitive, right? I can't kill two birds with one stone. The fact that the Gemara goes out of its way and it requires a Gzeiras HaKasuv, I would have said maybe it's limited only to Karbanos, because, right, it seems like it needs it, and yet you have this Gemara, as the Maharil points out in Kiddushin, which has basically the same discussion without the words called Davar Shebechova in Baal Menachulin, which says whenever you have a monetary obligation, a mitzvah obligation, you can't use money which is already dedicated. So which is it, right? Is it a Gzeiras HaKasuv in Karbanos, or is it a Svara Pshuta the Gemara doesn't need a pasuk for and applies to all mitzvahs? The Maharil looks at the Gemara in Kiddushin and concludes that this is, or seems to conclude, at least at this point, that it's a universal rule. Okay. So,
another Maharil.
Right. Now, so one way of dealing with this, I was schmoozing with Ray Clapper over the summer when I was in Boston, when I was in Sharon. So he had what I thought was an interesting suggestion, which was to say, okay, the Gemara in Menachos clearly thinks you have a Gzeiras HaKasuv, which tells you that Karbanos can only be brought Menachulin, and we only know that because there's a Pasuk. And then you have a Gemara in Kiddushin that without a Pasuk, by a non-Karban related mitzvah, says, yeah, without a Pasuk, from logic, I could tell you can't use money that was already dedicated to Aniyim for another monetary obligation. So he said, okay, I look at this and you see a contradiction. Right? One place it's a Svara, one place it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv. The simplest way to solve the problem is to say it's a Svara in general, and Karbanos need a Gzeiras HaKasuv. And he says it's very simple. Why? Because you could have thought that in the end of the day, Karbanos are all going to God. So what do you care? It makes sense that if I owe money to poor people, and I owe money to my father, so the fact that my father happens to be poor, right? The reason I owe him money is not because he's poor, it's because he's my father, right? Even a rich, if you think Michel Ben, then even a wealthy parent, you would have to provide food for, even if he could pay for it himself. Now he happens to be poor, so he technically falls in the category of Maaser Ani. But that's not why you owe him money. So that's a svara. But karbanos, you could have thought, well, what does God care? So I said I was going to bring a karban. I'm bringing a karban. I said I was going to, right, the way the Gemara in Beita says it, I said, I'm bringing a todah, I'm committing an extra todah on condition that it double counts as a todah and a chagiga. I said that when I set aside the karban. That was the condition for promising an extra karban. So why shouldn't that work? I'm saying, I'm bringing it all to God. I want it to, right? What does God care? So that's not so obvious. So you need a pasuk to tell you no. God is the same way. Once you've obligated yourself an X, you can't use it for X and Y, but you wouldn't necessarily have known that. So one solution is to say, yes, kol davar shebechova is a rule in kol Torah kula, but not for the same reason, or maybe for the same reason. But one of them was obvious intuitively, and one of them required a pasuk. Now the pasuk may just tell you that karbanos are like everything else, and lamaskana, you might just have one rule, which is you can never pay loans off from something else. So that's one way of dealing with this. Another way of dealing with this is, I just made a note of it at the end, because I didn't want to put the whole source. There was an article, I just noted it in 10, from Harav Simcha Elberg. I don't know who that is, but he has a article in Hapardes in volume 5, so I guess whatever that was, the 1960s or something like that, or I don't know, maybe earlier, 1950s maybe. Yeah. Pardes is old. So, whatever it was, in the fifth volume of Pardes, he said, no, you know, I have a suggestion. Because he looks at the Gemara Menachos, and he says, I don't get it. How can you tell me that kol davar shebechova in Obam Menachon is just a svara? And therefore it applies to all mitzvos. The Gemara goes out of its way, it spends 2.5 blot trying to figure out what pasuk you're going to have to prove that that called davar shebechova in Baal Menachulin. You see that it's not obvious. It's not obvious at all. It needs exeris hakasuv. So he said, okay, well, I can't deny the fact that the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to say the same thing by Tztaka, and the Maharil in 3 is Nifsak lahalacha in the Magen Avram, and this is accepted psak, that you can't use your money for Maiser for Matanos Levyonim. So he says, how am I going to work with psak if I insist that it's only Karbanos? So he comes up with a clever answer, and he says, right, Rabbi Klapper said, maybe, right, the Gemara in Menachos is Karbanos, because maybe Karbanos isn't obvious, and the Gemara in Kiddushin represents all other mitzvos. That's one way of dealing with it. The other way is to say that Staka is like Karbanos, and therefore it's subsumed under the Gzeres HaKasuv of Menachos. And how would you say that? So he says, there's a category in that you find in the halacha every so often called mitzvot shel ritzui, right? Mitzvot whose purpose is to ingratiate yourself to God. One of those is obviously karbanos, but one of those is also tztaka. Tztaka has elements like this: tztaka tatsumi maves, tztaka. Right? Tztaka has this element where you're supposed to, you know, be on God's good side. Now, this has halachic expressions. For example, there are Rishonim who think that the only time the mitzvah haba ba'avera invalidates a mitzvah is a mitzvah shel ritzui. Because a normal mitzvah, if I happen to do it through an avera, okay, but at the end of the day, I did my mitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah shel ritzui, it's a mitzvah whose purpose isn't just to check off a box, but I'm bringing a karban to make God happy, I can't do that through an avera, right? It just reminds you of, right, all the beginning, oh, like all of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, right? I don't want your karbanos, I don't want your karbanos, I want it to be backed by insincerity, blah, blah, right? You know, hundreds and hundreds of times the Nevi'im just say, we don't want it, we don't want it, we don't want it. So Rav Elberg says the same thing is true here. He says, why in the Gemara in Kiddushin do we seem to have an assumed rule of kol davar shebechova? Not because it's a universal rule. It's not a universal rule. But because anytime there's a mitzvah where you want ritzui, you want God to say, oh, this person is a great person. He's doing something extra, going above and beyond, right? Not just checking off the boxes. You can't say I'm going above and beyond if I'm taking all the things I already owe and just doing it together. I'm not devoting myself at all. There's no sincerity. But another mitzvah, right? Like, I don't know, esrog, right? If I had money that I already committed to God, whatever. I don't know, find Miser. Oh, no, Miser would work. Whatever. I don't know. Miser, Shemitah. We'll come back to those things. Come up with a case, right? For an Esrog. Well, Esrog's not a good example because the Balmor thinks that's Ritzui also. Okay, Matzah. Find Matzah, right? Matzah's not Shel Ritzui, right? So, what does God care, right? I ate my Matzah in the requisite time. It's done, right? It doesn't matter. Right, the Gemara has whole discussions, right? You know, what if I don't taste it? Right, someone shoves it down my mouth. I'm not yotzei mitzvos shrichas kavana, ain't shrichas kavana. Right, we have all these rules that by most mitzvos we say, okay, maybe we want you to have kavana, maybe we want you to do it in the best way. If you don't, you're yotzei. But certain karbanos are about, you know, doing something above and beyond. So maybe those mitzvos that have the problem, that's where the Maharil picks up on specifically tzedakah, and that's why the Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about tzedakah. But really, those are just assuming the gzeiras hakasuv that we have in Menachos. So that's how he deals with the problem. Okay. So now that would give us, therefore, two possibilities, right? One possibility would be that really it's limited to only karbanos and maybe other mitzvahs that you can sort of shove into karbanos, right? That would be one way of reading the Maharil, which is Rav Elberg's way of reading the Maharil. The other way of reading the Maharil with the Gemara in Kiddushin is no. Karbanos weren't obvious because they were all going to God, but all mitzvahs are obvious, right? You can't just be yotzei your mitzvah with something else, right? Something that you already were obligated in. Okay, so which one really is it, right? How far do we go with this? So in this discussion, again, it comes back to another Maharil. So all the posts can point to the second Maharil, which at some level is in tension with the first Maharil. So the Maharil number 5 says as follows. Ma'aseh b'isha shenadra leilech likvaros l'ranchberg ve'akva yamim rabin.
Regensburg.
Yeah. Right, there was a woman who said, promised, she was going to go to the cemetery. But she didn't for a long time. And then, it happened to be, she had to go to Regensburg. So Vinishal Maharil. So she asked the Maharil, Im Yatsine Nadra Bali Chazo. So he said, look, she said to Maharil, I promised I was gonna go special to the Beis HaKvaros, but I never went. And now I had to go on business. Do I have to go again? Right? Do I have to make a special trip? Because I promised I was gonna go to the Beis HaKvaros. Veshaftila, I told her, Didai lo Bali Chazo. Nah, no problem. You don't have to. Vitaimi Didi. Well, why? Hol makayim nidra shalach lekevrei tzaddikim. She promised to go to the cemetery. She did. Who cares if she did something else while she was in the area? Vadaim nadra lahoti mos lo nafka kevan shachirim iskiru lekach kimoshe shalali. Avali he lo nadra lekevrei tzaddikim. Right? If she had promised, I'm going to spend extra money to go on a trip to the Kivrei Tzadikim, and then she piggybacked on another trip, so that would be a problem. But she didn't do that. She just said she was going to go. She didn't say how she was going to spend the money. And he says, V'chein, the same thing is true. Hanoder l'is'anos chum yamim ritzufim. Let's say I promised to fast for X number of days. U'miklu lehen b'hon tainis chova o'shar tainis chova. I'm saying I'm going to fast the next 10 days. And the next 10 days happen to include, I say this on Rosh Hashanah, so the next 10 days happen to include 2 fast days. So I've knocked off 2 fast days. All I'm doing is accepting another 8. Assuming you can fast on Rosh Hashanah, which is a machlokes in the Gaonim. Let's assume, right? Mi lo nafik. Don't you fulfill your obligation? Why? Because you just promised I'm going to be in pain for the next 10 days. Who cares whether you promise you're going to be in pain because of 10 unique fasts or because of 10 fasts, 2 of which you're already obligated in. And this is like the other half of our Gemara, that you can fulfill the mitzvah of simcha with Nidarma Nidavos, right? Because the Gemara said you can fulfill Chagiga, but you can fulfill Simcha. Alma afagav de boy lasu yesh lomim de neder de dava afilu achinafik ben yidei simcha velo amrin and kaven de lo ilo nadar boy lasu yeshami simcha baregal lo lefik linei nidro. And we see that you're allowed to bring it, even though you had to bring a carbon anyways. We don't say that if you hadn't made your promise, you would have had to bring a separate carbon. Doesn't matter. So Poskim point to this Maril and say, isn't it some level of intention with the first Maril? The first Maril is like, yeah, there's a rule in Kolat Arakula. And then he comes along and says, no, it's not a rule in Kolat Arakula. So,
as he can make that comparison, though.
What?
The case of the old lady, the lady, she's in Regensburg, not for a mitzvah, she's in Regensburg to do business.
Right.
So that's hardly a comparison. If she was in Regensburg, let's say, to do a mitzvah, it might be more of an issue.
You think it would be worse if she was there for a mitzvah?
Possibly.
Interesting.
Because then you're talking about...
Okay, what about the fasting? Right? He's saying, I use my fast...
Interesting point. The fasting, the question is the fasting a mitzvah?
Yom Kippur?
Her
private fast. The private fast.
Yeah, but Aseres Mitzvah.
Right. So, we'll see. So, the question that basically frames the machlokas and the achronim is, okay, well, what... Clearly, there's a difference, right? The Maharil wasn't like... It's not like the Maharil doesn't relate to the same Gemara in both places. He actually relates to the two sides of the Gemara and says, X number of mitzvahs fall in category A, which is the Chagiga category, and X number of mitzvahs fall in the other category, namely the Simcha category. And there's certain types of mitzvahs that work and certain types of mitzvahs that don't work with this rule of Kol Davar Shebechova. And he doesn't quite explain the difference between them. Now... Shulchan Aruch paskens this way, right? That hanoder letzum schum yom retufim ve'irabem tainei schova olin lo. That if you promise to fast for a certain number of days, and in between happened to be a day you already had to fast, that's fine, that counts. Now, so, if you wanted to take the extreme, extreme position, kol davar shebechova means kol davar. So, what you would do is, you would reject the second Maharil. Right? If you really, really, really thought kol davar meant kol davar, you would just get rid of the Maharil, right? Which is, in fact, what some achronim do. So if you look, for example, in 7, the Birkei Yosef says, v'ira behem tainas chovav olin lo, aval maharam provençal, I have no idea who that is, and I could not find this tshuva, but whoever the maharam provençal is, v'tshuva ksavyad, simin ayin, cholik, de'ein lo olin lo men aminyan. No, even that case doesn't work. And the Dvar Shmuel says, and the Birkei Yosef quotes this Maharam Provençal, just argues. So, again, to our question of Kol Davar Shebechova, how expansive is Kol Davar? So the Maharam Provençal says, I like the first Maharil, I don't like the second Maharil. Right? The first Maharil we paskin like, that you can't pay Matanos Lavyonim from Meiser, I like that. But I, the Maharil, thinks I can be Yotze my fast day with a fast I already promised? I don't like that. I mean, the rule is Kol Davar is Kol Davar. Is once I promise something, I can't double dip. That's the rule. The rule is very simple. Anytime I have an obligation, I have to treat each obligation independently. That's it. That's how it works.
But he's probably good with the first part of the second Maharil, but not the rest of it.
I don't know what he would say about the first half of the Maharil. At least the second half of the Maharil he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't even like the first Maharil, right? In theory, you could just say he doesn't like anything. The point is, you always, always, always have to devote your time to mitzvos independently. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you don't want to go that extreme and just reject the Maharil's qualification, Kofir Ches, so how would you... explain the two Maharils together, right? How would you explain them? So the Dvar Shmuel in 8 tries. He says, Lofina is daiti, lav raihi, de ba'osu in indafka yalfina, domi de goli kravis amachta v'chagecha, v'kol mine, sorry, I was right the first time. The Dvar Shmuel supports the position of the Maharam Provençal. He says, what's the raya? How would you explain it? How would you prove from the Gemara like the position of the Maharam Provençal? He says, because the Maharil is right. There are mitzvos, such as simcha, which the Gemara explicitly tells you, you can fulfill from non-chulin, right? That was what the Maharil is telling you, is there are certain types of mitzvos that don't fall in this category. So he says, very simple. The Gemara had a gzeres hakasuf for that. V'samachta, b'kol davar shemisameach. That by simcha, it's unique, because all you need to do is be happy. It doesn't matter how you're happy, right? But that's special. there, but also in Yedavka, Yafin and Dami, the Gali Kromis, Amachto Bechagecha, Bechomin Hismachos, Kedamar Tamuda Beferush, Ukziris Akosufu, Avabekulhu, Yani Acharina, Klala Kayel, Tanalan, Vinafak Lemikra, Bechamar Menachos. But every other case in Shas, all other mitzvahs are Aser.
Interesting.
So, I think. 9:30. So we'll stop with this position, but just to flesh it out.
The Gemara says that the Samachta.
Well, it was the Gemara. It was Mikol Makom, right? Samach Mikol Makom, right?
That was the first case, right?
Yeah. But it was. It's either here or it's in the other one, right? Samachta Mikol. Just but Mikol Makom, right? We just assume that with anything that will make you happy, right? That's basically the function of the Gzeiras HaKasuv.
No one's saying that the woman that made the neder to go to Regensburg. I mean, the neder. You don't have to interpret it as a neder to go to Regensburg. It's to go to the base of Klaros.
Right.
So she.
I could hear you say that one would be different. Right. So, you know, would anyone really argue with that one? I'm not sure. Right. But that one's sort of like different, right? Because you didn't. Yeah. You know, you just said I'm going to go to the. You know, the basic part is you did. You didn't say how you were going to get there, that you were going to make a special trip. You didn't say that. That's what he points out. Maril says, I didn't say I was going to make a special trip.
Is such a thing, right. Is there a kibud avim for a dead parent?
Or is it no longer there is.
That's the difference between a wife and a spouse and a...
Yeah, I mean, there is. The extent to which there's kibud avim is an interesting question, but there is something.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what we have so far is on this kol davar question, right? We have the Maran Provençal, who really pushes in the direction that it's all mitzvot, kanira, right? All mitzvot, and therefore he doesn't like any limitations on this. And therefore even the, you know, fast days. If I say I'm going to fast for 5 days, and one of those days happens to be Yom Kippur, I have to fast a sixth day, right? Because one, right, I can never double dip. That's the point, right? Once I'm obligated in something, I can't say, I can't kill two obligations at the same time. All the way the other extreme is to say, no, it only applies to karbanos, that's it. The Gemara seems to expand it to tzedaka, maybe tzedaka is sort of karban-like, right? Or something like that. What we're going to have to do next time is try to deal with the Maharil himself. Because the Maharil, right, seems to be doing something more systematic, right? He seems to be saying, no, I don't think they called Rav Shabbachovain, Bam and Achulin is limited to Karbanos, or even, unlike probably Rasimcha Elberg, not just Karbanos and Karbanos-like mitzvos. Because he says, in theory, we could apply it to Tainios, right? He doesn't just say there's Stucca and Karban on one side, and then there's Tainios on the other side. He says, right, this formulation is different because whatever, because he says that's Letzurei Nafshe. What does that mean? And we'll see that Post can bring it up with all types of interesting cases, right? We'll see in 11, the Shud Beis Yehuda brings up similar svaras, if I promise to learn, right, X number of prakim on every Shabbos, right? I promise, or sorry, every day of the week, I'm going to learn a certain number of prakim. What happens if, what happens, does Bamei Madlikin count, right? Because I'm already learning it, right? Does that count, right? We're going to have to figure out where exactly Maharil draws the line, because it's not just a dion in the Maharil. Maharil seems to be picking up on something very important in the Gemara, which is that it's not just the Maharil which has two paradigms, it's the Gemara which has two paradigms. It's Simcha, where we say it's fine, and Chagiga, where we say it's not. Now, if you don't go the direction of the Dvar Shmuel to say that Simcha is the exception to all rules, but really, Kol Davar Shebechov is a mitzvah, is a rule in all mitzvot, then you have to figure out, okay, if Simcha is one paradigm and Chagiga is the other paradigm, what is that paradigm, right? What is it that divides the types of mitzvot that do have the rule of Kol Davar Shebechova and that one and those which don't? So I think we'll leave that and try to analyze that next week when we have more people, and we'll summarize where we are. I assume by next week we'll have Howie. I know said he's back by next week. Tully said he was already back, but I guess. And then Gerard is here, and Laser's here, but they're at the wedding tonight. Okay.